Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M Footy starts your weekend early.
Rugby league.
We love it!
With every massive moment.
Stand up and applaud.
Great stuff!
This
is exquisite rugby league!
Is the Triple M Thursday scrum. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
What a picturesque evening for some rugby league. Allianz Stadium looking an absolute beauty as we count down to two heavyweights going head-to-head. It is the Roosters and the Panthers. Here on Triple M, we'll take you through all of the action thanks to Ream Hot Water and to Macca's, Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham, and usually we would have James Graham, but Wade-o, Easter Thursday, one of the biggest games of the year. All of the families on the road going to their holidays. We need Jimmy here. And what has happened? Is he letting the team down?
He's definitely letting the team down. And this is the second week in the row he's actually been late. So he was saved last week because we had a bit of a technical glitch. And when we're on air, it got pushed back. So he was saved from his acting debut. I don't know what his excuse is today. And not only that, we've compounded that because our producer, Charlie, who normally runs the show behind the scenes, he's on holidays down the coast. I seen one of his posts. He's in an infinity pool. I don't know what he's doing. Is this – I know I'm only recently retired and I'm new to all this media stuff, but is this how we normally run the ship here, or just days off or holidays mid-year, coming late?
Well, the way I understand it from footy teams, when you go to press conferences during the week, sometimes you see them, they've dyed their hair – peroxide blonde because it's a punishment for being late.
Yeah, one thing is you cannot be late to training, you cannot be late to meetings, cannot be late to the bus. And every team has their different rules. I can go from monetary fines that go into the player's kitty if you're late. You mentioned the dyeing of hair. There's all sorts of different team regulations that groups come up with. But I know some teams, like, that send their players home if they're late. So don't
actually,
even come in.
Has that happened?
Don't even come in. Like, so you're late, so you think your time's better than everyone else's, or you can't manage your schedule. We don't want you to train. You know what? Just go home and just think about it.
Fitzy does that, doesn't he? I heard that he does.
It's even worse. It's not that, like, because normally as a player, like, the most common fine is some sort of extra physical training, right? You might get into the cardio chamber or the altitude chamber. You might need to do a little bit extra on the field. And as a player, you sort of go, okay, I deserve that and I'm happy to do that, wear that that physical exercise. But when you get sent home to think about it, you can't do anything. It's more that, you know, when your dad goes, well, I'm not angry.
I'm disappointed.
Oh,
it burns, doesn't
so,
it?
Jimmy and Charlie, we're not angry. We're disappointed.
And hopefully Jimmy does some grovelling when eventually he makes it here to Allianz Stadium for an excellent evening ahead. How good is this stadium looking, Wade-o? We've got the Panthers out there at the moment on the turf checking it out. The gates have just opened. I mean, this stadium, it's brand new and it's an absolute beauty. But tonight, how good is it looking?
Yeah, it's a great night here. It's always fun to call the footy. Dan will roll in just before the game, as he does. He likes to call with the open air, so we'll slide the glass back and we'll fill the atmosphere. But they've certainly done a good job, and what a game we have tonight. A couple of stars missing, but plenty of excitement around the team's young Gaia, Maverick Gaia. He's going to debut. We saw the video of MG, one of the Triple M family, presenting that jersey to him earlier today. So that's exciting for the Penrith team. Obviously, the big out of Nathan Cleary, how they match up without him steering the ship around. He's sort of the focal point. We talk about players in this Penrith team leaving, Stephen Crichton, Kickout, Appy over the years. He's a glue butt, right? He stays there. He's still calling the shot. He's getting their system of play out there on the field week in, week out. He's the conductor, so a big loss from them, but a good opportunity for young Snyder playing his first game. This is the reason they bought Snyder to the club as that backup half. We know they had Jack Cogger last year. We've seen Jock Madden there in the past to fill in that spot, whether Luai or Cleary's out. But, yeah, certainly big shoes to fill, Brad Snyder. And I think with that hammy, it's going to be a couple of weeks. So we're going to get a good look at him, how he fits into this system and if he can do the job for him.
Yeah, so next week they've got Manly. So it's looking like he'll be touch and go for that. So there's probably no point risking him because they've got the bye the following week. So that would mean then round 7 likely return for Nathan.
Yeah, it makes sense that. Like, if you have the bye up your sleeve this early in the season, You don't want to be mucking around with a hamstring injury. He's had one in the past. I think it was his other leg. He went for that maybe last year or the year before. So he's experienced with those injuries, and they're just so, you know, so finicky hamstrings. You just can't muck around with them because the last thing you want is to come back a little bit early, suffer a reoccurrence. Normally, if it's a reoccurrence, it's a little bit worse as well. Then you have to double that time. So having the bye up their sleeve, if it's just a minor strain this early in the season, it makes sense to, you know, rest him that extra week just to make sure. But, yeah, young Snyder, this is why they bought him, right, to be there in that backup role. He comes into a great system, obviously a team full of confidence after that win last week against the Broncos. So, yeah, we'll get a good look at the kid tonight, and it'll certainly be a cracker game. A couple of outs on the other side, Lindsay Collins with the Roosters missing. We know how important he is for their team, but they welcome back Luke Keary from concussion. Good timing as well, because young Sandon Smith, who filled in for Luke Keary in his absence, hurt his elbow. So they've been shuffling the decks themselves, the Roosters, but certainly, you know, what a way to kick off this Easter weekend with some massive clashes coming here on Triple M.
Would you say the Panthers are more affected? Yes, you mentioned some of those key players for the Roosters, but the fact that it is Cleary, Scott Sorensen is out for about 4 weeks with a knee injury. James Fisher-Harris not back still. They could have potentially played him, but unfortunately he had to go back to New Zealand for a family matter during the week, so didn't train. So the fact that you've got Fish, Cleary, Scott Sorensen, are you leaning more towards the Roosters knowing the players the Panthers have out tonight?
I am leaning towards the Roosters. Even if Nathan was playing, I'd almost
still would go Roosters.
Well, I'm not saying I would 100%. I'd have to think about it.
You can't
a bit
sit
more,
on the fence.
But I don't know. Nathan's not out there, so it's not a decision I have to make. But I'm going to lean toward, yeah, definitely towards the Roosters because of Nath being out. But I just got the feeling, you know, we spoke about Fisher-Harris. Leota's been playing well but carrying a little bit extra load. Liam Martin, he just looked a little bit banged up last week. I just get the feeling with the travel early in the season, you know, the World Club Challenge coming back, they were phenomenal last week against Brisbane. But just in that back end of the game, they just looked like they were sort of looking for the end of the game. They put a lot into that first half. They got out far enough that the game was in control. But they just looked a little bit banged up to me. And the Roosters, they're flying. They had a great win last week in South Sydney. Obviously, an emotional game for them with Jared's 300th game. But, yeah, they've got Jared back tonight. He's better for the run last week. They just look like they're in a really good spot. Tedesco's firing, Manu's firing. Sammy Walker last week was brilliant. They welcome back Jared. They just seem like, you know, last week was a bit of a statement game. You know, we know Souths aren't going that well, but there was a lot to play with, and Roosters just dominated that whole performance. But, yeah, I get the feeling Trent Robinson would have his boys really, you know, really in a good spot tonight with an opportunity to make another statement against, you know, the three-time premiership winners.
You mentioned Mav Geyer making his debut. He's coming off the bench for the Panthers. He's 23 years old. He's a back rower. So special. I mean, making your first grade debut at any stage and at any club is special, but getting to do it where your dad played first grade as well and won a premiership, it was so beautiful. If anyone's listening, head to the Panthers' socials, their website or Instagram, watch the video of MG presenting the jersey. It is absolutely beautiful. And MG teared up straight away before he even started getting the words out. But Wade, can you try and describe what it is like, that moment before you make your first grade debut? And most clubs tend to do it now. I'm assuming it was the same back in the day. You have family around when you got to present the jersey. Like, do you remember yours as if it was yesterday?
Yeah, I do. It's a surreal feeling. The moment, there's two sort of things, right? The moment you get told, there's just excitement, right? Here he is as we see James Graham walk in late. That'll be $100 to the team kitty, mate.
Hello, Jimmy.
Just 100. I was going to say two, but
it's 100.
Yeah, 100 would be fine.
I was going to suggest dyeing your hair like some of the players have been doing.
Oh, you're going to do the role.
Yep.
No, we don't need that. Gingers don't need any dye. It's more difficult for gingers to dye their.
Well, you do the shaved head, but
oh, God. No one wants to see that. No one wants to see that. Oh no, sorry, I'm late, team.
Acting again, or
no, not acting today. Not acting. I had other commitments.
Well, we're just talking about Matt.
Well, if I tell you, you're going to think, oh, well, why are you telling us that? Because you're just trying to promote yourself.
Just tell us.
Oh, so I had a podcast to record for the buy round.
Oh, for the buy round.
A massive guest.
Oh,
like,
are you allowed to promote it?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Matty Johns.
Oh, yeah.
So just finished that. I literally sprinted over, so Byron Studio is not far from here. So
when will that drop on the channels?
Sunday evening, I believe.
Yeah. Nice.
If Charlie gets his act together. Producer Charlie, he's on holiday. I'm late.
Don't worry. You both got to serve early. So have to listen back to the coverage. But we're just talking about Mav Guy and his debut tonight, how special it'll be. Like, so you can talk about your debut, Jimmy, back in 1980 over in but there's sort of two phases to it. There's the excitement when you get told by the coach you're in this week, and it's pure excitement. It's pretty much the realization of a life's pursuit, almost, really, because you start sort of full-time training when you're maybe 15 or 16, and you start eyeing the pathway. Yeah, there's a chance I could do this if I go through the rep teams or go through the grades. There's that pathway you see, and you dedicate your life around it, around training, about how can I be a better athlete, how can I get a better diet, what can I do to improve myself in my football, and you know, in front of you in the future is you chasing that goal of getting an opportunity to play first grade in the first grade team. So when you get initially told, it's pure excitement, and then you know, you're in your parents, you go through that phase, you're in your friends, and it's just bubbling away. But then you get onto the training field and you're in that first grade team preparing to play, and you sort of click in the gear. So, all right, I've got to get ready to get out there and do my job for the team. And then the closer the game gets to you, the nerves start to bubble away. Am I good enough to be out there? What's it going to be like? Is it going to be fast? Am I going to be able to handle the pace? Am I going to be able to handle the physicality? And those nerves start to kick in. So right now he'd be excited, but as he gets into that dressing shed and he looks around, he realises he's got to get out there and mix it up with the big boys, those nerves will start kicking in.
Do you remember your debut, Jimmy?
I do. It was almost like child abuse, to be fair. I was only 17, so I wasn't ready. It was probably a little bit different for me, way though. It was probably just before the whole presentation thing got brought in. Like, I didn't have like a jersey presentation.
You didn't have that at all? Any family present?
For the presentation? No. No, they came to the game.
Yeah.
But in terms of like making a big deal of it, it wasn't a big deal. Yeah. It was just St. Helens were going for an injury run, and coaches just, I think when he's named the team, there was three of us making debuts, so it wasn't as, like, I guess as special as what it might be now. And I can just remember going home and saying, like, I was still at school, so like some of my mates came after school, and like it wasn't until I spoke to my dad post career for an interview I did with him about like what his most memorable moments for like watching his son wear, and he was like, it was your debut, son. It was seeing you play for St. Helens first team. I was like, what? Like, I was really shocked by him answering that. I think your debut game, like, Wade, for all the things you spoke about, it's right. But I think any athlete with any sort of ambition, you know, that throwaway line of, I'd just be happy if I played one game. Well, I think that's a lie. I don't think that's true. I think people like young Gaia will have aspirations to win premierships with Pembroke, to be
Origin, straight.
He'll set the bar really high. And some people, don't get me wrong, would be happy with one game. But for me, I probably, like, really deep down, it was amazing. I was quote unquote making it. But it's more for the family. Like, I honestly think it's the debut game is a bigger sense of occasion for the family and your parents, your grandparents. That, like, wow, I'm never going to bounce around town being like, hey, I'm a first teamer. I'd never walk around in my St. Helens gear, my Bulldogs gear, or my Dragons gear.
Well, but you're happy to plug the boy around on it.
Yeah. But mum and dad, they were screaming it from the absolute rooftops. They couldn't get enough of the fact that, like, their son or their grandson, brother, their friend, is going out to play at the top level of rugby league football.
100%, I agree with you. And just, it brought back memories to my debut, because I was also 17, Jimmy, so I was quite young as well. And when I got the, I called mum and dad. They were fine with it. They were excited. They, you know, they'd obviously come in and see me play a lot over the years up in older grades against men, and they were fine. But I remember my nan was living with us at the stage, and I got home and I told her, and she was like, "Nah, you're too young. You're not playing. I'm going to bring the coach. You're not old enough. You're not going out there on the weekend and playing first grade." So it's funny that you brought that up. It just brought that memory back to me.
It does totally mean so much to the family. I remember when my brother debuted, he was 17 as well. I wasn't allowed to go because it was at Suncorp Stadium, so the Tigers flew up, my mum and dad. So I had to sit at home with Nan and watch, and I was spewing. But the headline the next day, because he scored a try that won them the game, was "Saved by a Schoolboy." So all the cameras, he had trial HSC exams the next day at St. Greg's. All the cameras went out to the school and to the local Maccas. All his school friends after the exam went to this Maccas at Eaglevale. And then they're in the paper, all the friends around. So his friends were loving it. Like, "Oh, my mate just played first grade." Yeah. So
I remember that. Did he pick up a loose ball and race away and score a try?
And then beat Sean Berrigan.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He had the undercut with the long hair. I do remember that. Chris Lawrence.
How many copies of that newspaper did your family buy?
Oh, mum Mum has folders, or the little plastic sleeves of all the old articles, so she'd cut them all out. But of all the articles I remember, that's probably the only one I genuinely remember, his first grade debut. So it is special. And as we mentioned, MG made a beautiful speech, and we actually do have the audio of that right now.
Thanks for that, Dive. I'd like to thank God everyone for having us today. You always see this happen to other players, and you always wish that you one day, hopefully, that you'll be their dad giving the jersey to his son. And all you guys in here know how great it is to get the first grade jersey. Me and Greeny both knew what it was like. Actually, tomorrow, when Matt makes his debut, it's 40 years to the day that Greeny made his debut as well. So, Meeks and I are very proud of Mav. He's gone through a lot of hardship in the last few years, with little niggling injuries, but he's kept at it. He loves you boys lots. It's all he talks about. He talks sideways like that. Meeks and Mav in the kitchen yesterday morning. I went, "What are you fucking looking sideways for?" And they're talking about, like, what could go wrong. And he goes, "What do you mean? What are you going to look, proud moment for us. Very, very, like, 40 years this club have been a part of it. It's everything to me, this club. It's why I'm standing today as the next player of the game. And to welcome Mav to the fraternity is a total honour. Mavie, well done, brother. Yeah.
That is Panthers legend and Triple M's very own Mark Geyer presenting the jersey to his son, Maverick Geyer, who will be making his first grade debut off the bench for the Panthers tonight as they prepare to do battle with the Sydney Roosters here at a glorious Allianz Stadium. About an hour and 40 minutes here to kick off. We've got you covered for all of the build-up. And we have every single NRL match this weekend on Triple M, either on your local station or on the Listener app. So, Mac, make sure you do download the Listener app. We have a blockbuster tomorrow night. It is the Broncos and the Cowboys in a Queensland derby. So to talk all things the Broncos, and there is always a lot going on, we welcome in our very own Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, how are you going?
Oh, hello, Emma. Hello, Wade. Hello, James. Great to be with you on this Thursday night. How
Never
are we
a slow
all?
Day in Brisbane, is there, Dobbo?
Oh, well, it's been one of those weeks, guys. It's been one of those weeks up here. But, look, I mean, a lot happening in Queensland, a lot happening in rugby league, and it's just good that we get to a weekend where we're covering every single game on Triple M. I can't wait.
And so, Kevy, tell us, yes or no, has he re-signed?
Kevin Walters has re-signed. He's been given an upgrade for this year in 2024, in 2025, and an extension for 2026. Now, Dave Donaghy spoke today because they launched the Carweb medal, which will be played out tomorrow night between the Cowboys and the Broncos. And the big thing that came out of it was that negotiations started when the grand final was over last year. So they've got to this point. It's been an upgrade and a year extension. I asked why it wouldn't have been any more. They said they're comfortable till 2026, and they'll look at the progress and they'll continue to keep on upgrading and upgrading as it continues to grow here in Brisbane. I think it's a great story. I think it's the right decision.
Dobbo, so we've got a yes for Kevy. Where are we sitting on Reece Walsh? Is it a yes? Is it a no? Is it a maybe? What's the latest, brother?
Do you guys honestly think Reece Walsh is going to leave the Brisbane Broncos? I'd love to bring you all in on this. I mean, in all seriousness, he's a Brisbane Broncos junior. He left to go to the Warriors and he came back to Brisbane. Do you think in any way he is leaving?
Well, for me, I think it's from the outside looking in, it's just a matter of time before he signs. But obviously all the I's aren't dotted and all the T's aren't crossed. And someone's just within the club jumped a little early and gave a bit of mail.
Plenty of things have happened.
No,
I can't see
he's not leaving. He's not leaving. The understanding that I have, and this was reported firstly in the Courier Mail, and since then I've gone and done some work around this, is that he has agreed that they've agreed to a deal. He has not signed anything, and that was never mentioned. It's never been mentioned anywhere that he signed. So it's semantics about this. Are they going to announce the deal? In April, the deal will be announced. That's my understanding. But I've spoken to people close to Reece. He was upset that it got out. It was upset that it had gone down this road, and rightly so, because he hasn't signed the deal. But Kevin Walter spoke today, and he said he won't be leaving Brisbane. He was adamant about it. Dave Donaghy spoke today, the CEO. He said he doesn't believe he'll be leaving Brisbane. So, I mean, all the speculation about has he signed, he's not leaving. It's a long-term deal that'll see him here till 2029. It'll be the richest deal in the Broncos' history. And when it's done, everybody can just take a Bex, as Anthony Maroon says, and relax. Because in all seriousness, I mean, what is everybody... Yes, he came out there because he hasn't done it. I think there's some other things going on, some third-party deals going on. They're trying to get some finalised, some dot the I's and cross the T's. But in principle, it's been agreed upon.
Yeah, but you can understand the reason we're talking about this and questioning this is because it was, you know... That's just all part of it. And with Instagram and, you know, it's always going to be created talking point. You'd be naive to think that it wouldn't.
Yeah, but I think if Reece has his time again and talking to the club, that he wouldn't put those posts up.
Yeah,
I think that's just a 22-year-old who is one of the superstars of the game who didn't fully understand how it had come. Like this mail that Peter Bedell broke at 5 o'clock, he didn't just fabricate this. He just didn't make this up. Now, this has been written time and time again. This came from within the club.
Yeah, so, that's where I think. See, I think Reece, he can feel a little bit frustrated that it's come out this way because, like, if it was me, I would have liked to announce it side by side with the club, right? Be there and announce it together. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it has came out has meant that someone from within the club has talked to the media about it, and for sure there's some, you know, he's entitled to some frustration there, but. One, he probably didn't need to react like that on Instagram because that just had fuel to the fire. And if he wanted to express disappointment, he should have done it, in my opinion, behind closed door with either the coach or Dave Donaghy. And two, like, if I'm Brisbane, I'm looking to wrap that sort of stuff up as well because we don't need this firestorm when, you know, it is a storm in teacup.
Yeah, but
there's better ways to operate.
Yeah, I agree. But the kid's a really good kid. Away from the game, away from everything that you see, he's a proper, proper... good bloke. And I know, Emma, you've been with him this week. He is a proper good kid. Make no mistakes about it. But I can tell you one thing about it. These are positive stories. They've just re-signed their coach and extended him out. Very positive story. The superstar of the game, one of the biggest faces of the game, Reece Walsh, the biggest brand at the Broncos, and they're going to keep him till 2029. I don't know why everybody's getting upset. These are positive stories for a club that 3 years ago, before this, 4 years ago, were wooden spooners. Like, I don't know why everybody's getting up in arms over it.
You set yourself down, Dobber. You're the one that's worried. Dobbo. The game this weekend, Adam Reynolds' name to return.
Yeah.
Is he a definite starter for the Broncos?
Yeah,
and how's that injury tracking?
Finished the captain's run today. I with MCL injuries, both Wade and yourself know this better than anything. They can be 1 week, they can be 6 weeks. He's going to carry it. It's strapped and he can re-injure it. again, depending on how he gets tackled, but he's playing. They're light on Brisbane. The back line, they're obviously bringing Tristan Saylor in for Rhys Walsh, but their forward pack, if you look at it, no Keenan Palacio from last year, no Kurt Capewell. Then you've lost Payne Huss, right? Then you've lost Brendan Piakura. So four players in their starting side from and their grand final team last year aren't in that pack. So they start with Corey Jensen and Fletcher Baker as their two middles. And they've got Corey Oates, who's going to play a utility role, as well as Tyson Smoothie, Kobe Hetherington. They are light on in the middles at the moment, and it's been identified. I don't know. Their back line is still very good with Staggs and with Adam Reynolds and Ezra Mam and Selwyn Cobbo, but it's not at the moment that big pack with Tom Flegler and Payne Huss rolling down the middle, and you bring on a Keenan Palacio or you bring on, you know, a bloke of Corey Jensen's calibre. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fare against an undefeated Cowboys side. This is probably their real test.
Yeah, they're tough shoes to fill, some of those absentees. Just obviously with the signing of Rhys Walsh and the extension of Rhys Walsh and the extension of Ezra Mam and Payne Huss and Pat Carrigan, like we all know in salary cap sports, you can't keep them all. Yeah. Who are we anticipating the stars of the Brisbane Broncos that will, you know, ultimately be forced to look elsewhere?
Yeah,
they've already lost
really
Flegler. They've already lost Flegler and Farmer.
Yeah, but next year, at the end of next year, they've got Staggs and Cobbo coming off contract. So the end of 25, and they're going to have to make a decision. I think they'd like to keep them both. But you're right, James, in the sense of they've got Cobbo and Staggs, and so who do you choose? Like, they're going to have to choose one. Both will be sought after. You would think that, you know, that there'll be a big play for a lot of teams to try and get a player of the Katoni Staggs calibre. Both of them, I know, love Queensland, even though Katoni's a New South Wales Wellington boy from the central west of New South Wales. He doesn't have an appetite to move to Sydney, but, you know, there's going to be clubs clamouring for those kind of players. So Brisbane are holding their cards pretty tight. They've obviously had to pay a lot of money for Ezra. You've got Reynolds with an upgrade as well next year. So I don't know where they're going. I don't know on that answer, but they're the two players that I know that are off contract at the end of next year that it's going to be interesting. It's interesting today the Dolphins announced an extension to Isaiah Katoa, their 20-year-old halfback, their number seven. They've tied him up till 2028 on a deal that's around $700,000 a year. So clubs are trying to secure their young talent long-term so they don't have other clubs come and raid. And the halfback spot and the centre spots are big positions, and the Dolphins today, obviously, they tick the big box as well.
Well, you're right, Dobbo, because obviously all the smart clubs realise that there's going to be an 18th team enter the competition, so the last thing you want is someone coming with a full war chest that's after a marquee player. So that's why you go and tie up the likes of Rhys Walsh. And when you speak to players of the ilk of your Cobbos and your Staggs, you know, come at expansion time, that those two will be people, like those two will be sought after, and where, you know, that expansion team goes an all-in push on two players like that and blow any competition out the water.
Yeah, well, Cobbo's a real interesting one too, because he's just so versatile, right? Yeah. You can play him anywhere in the back
fullback
line.
You know, the fullback option for Cobbo is makes logical sense,
you know,
right?
I said last year on the cover, like during the coverage, it looks like he's only just starting to scratch the surface of what he can be. He's starting to grow into that body, that frame, realising how strong he actually is. So, yeah, his ceiling could be anything.
Dobbo, we're looking forward to that one, the Broncos and Cowboys. You'll be calling that for Triple M. Any other Easter plans this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm calling the Dolphins and Titans. We've got the other Queensland derby on Saturday, and then on Sunday I get to spend my Easter Sunday with James Graham, Gordon Tallison, James Hooper on the Sunday.
Oh, what a
treat.
I mean,
where else and what else would you rather do on Easter Sunday than three of the best blokes in rugby league?
Dobbo, just make sure you pack some notes, all right? Because Jimmy has been running late, so you might have to cover for him until he gets there on time.
Mate, Jimmy's alluring to himself these days, Wade. We all know that. I mean, yeah, you know, once you get this successful podcast, mate, as you know, he can do what he wants. So we'll just go with it. We'll just keep on working as we do every Sunday and just try and have a good show.
I genuinely mean this. Like, you are going to make my Easter. Like, I love being in your company. And I've got two daughters at home. They are second on the list.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
More excited about seeing you than seeing them.
Can we go to a break on that, please?
Please. I'm starting to blush. Good on you guys. Have a great call.
All righty. Love your work, Dobbo. We'll see you tomorrow night. This is the Thursday Scrum here on your home of Rugby League Triple M. We do it thanks to Ream Hot Water, built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a Ream. Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham and James Graham with you this evening. Dan Ganane in a little bit later to take you through all of the action with the Roosters taking on the mighty Penrith Panthers. A glorious night here at Allianz Stadium. But what is not so glorious at the moment, poor old Leichhardt Oval. Wado desperately needs an upgrade. The Tigers CEO, Shane Richardson, held a press conference this week saying if they don't get the money ASAP, and they're saying at least a sort of $30 million upgrade, then the Tigers won't be playing there beyond this season. And Chris Minns essentially said he'd love to be able to help, but at this stage he doesn't really have the funds.
Yeah, I think... You know, it'd be nice in a perfect world to keep all our suburban grounds going, right? Obviously, times change and things need to upgrade to keep up with the times. You know, $30 million in terms of a stadium upgrade, I'm not an expert, but, you know, how much they spent $1 billion here, right? And they just guarantee, what is it, over $300 million for the Penrith upgrade. So I'd imagine $30 is not going to get you a whole lot in the long run. Now, the word that I hear about Leichhardt is there's no corporate facilities, so there's no way to hope corporate money and sponsorship, because that is a big cash bonus, right? When you can fill all those corporate suites and get your sponsors in there and they can bring clients, that is a way to really boost the viability, you know, of revenue at your club. I just wonder with how the NRL is going at the moment, their, you know, long-term goal to invest in the game and make the game sustainable, you know, in X amount of time, whether it be worth a conversation about splitting the cost with the government, taking on half of that money burden to make it more viable, because, you know, they can, if it's $30 million, so they split that $15 million each between the government and the game, they get a bit of an investment, they get an opportunity to share in the revenue of the stadium. I wonder if that's an opportunity there for the NRL to keep these suburban grounds alive while investing our money, you know, in the game.
Yeah, obviously, you know, whenever things like this come up, it's always an emotional topic, because there's a lot of memories and a lot of history that tie into places and places like Art Oval. So, you know, it's natural that passionate fans will come out in support. But ultimately, from what I can gather, what I've been led to believe is that the ground will actually become unsafe and not fit for purpose in terms of hosting an NRL game. So unless it gets funds, it's going to go anyway. Now, I'm probably of the thought, after the stories of the past couple of days, perhaps the NRL purchasing it outright and making it its own NRL stadium. Now, you'd need to look at the numbers and have an expert in finance and go, what are we going to see, a return on investment? That's the key. Everything is going to be deemed to like return on investment, because whether you like it or you don't, sport is a business now. That horse has bolted, and, you know, people can say, well, we need places like Leichhardt, but we only need, like, and I agree, I love those suburban grounds. I say this all the time, that the place that I made my debut at, the ground I made my debut at, that we're talking about before, those memories of my father, I sat on the wall, like, that's a housing estate now. And it's just, like, you know, unless there was a group of people that were willing to contribute to the upkeep of that particular ground for basically because of love and because of memories, it was turned into a housing estate. So look, it's a very difficult situation. I think as our game, looking back and the different strategic plans that our game has had, it went from big stadia to suburban grounds, and now it's kind of a little bit of both. So for me, I think, you know, the commission really need to figure out exactly what the plan is, but then you throw the Tigers in, which are a dual club. They've got, you know, a merged club, so you've got, you know, maximum 6 games a year there. Like, you know, you talk about $30 million, it's not going to get you much, but then $300 million, whatever it is, like, is it going to be worth it for 6 home games? Obviously, there's other occasions that can be held there, but you do need to look at the reality and not just the emotional of aspect of this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Jimmy. And I know the game's strategy is to future-proof the game in investment and build up a cash reserve where the game will always be able to look after itself. It wasn't that long ago, the first year of COVID, when the game shut down, we sat on a meeting with all the players and the bosses of the game, and they said, well, unless we get up and running by X amount of time, well, we've got no money left. And Peter Villandis and Andrew Abdu have done a phenomenal job through the COVID, the last CBA cycle, to invest in some things and to build the game up. So, and they're pushing hard. Like, the game has never had more revenue, never had more turnover. It is in a strong position. So things do need to make sense. I'm neither here nor there for the Tigers. I don't have that emotional connection to that club. I don't. But hearing Blocker and Benny Elias speak last night about it, you're right, it is a hard subject because of the memories and the emotion that people who've, you know, spilt blood and sweat and tears on that oval, and fans who've gone there year and year after getting it. It is a hard subject, but
there'd be ashes sprinkled on that.
Yeah, for sure.
There'd be people out there that have loved ones that their ashes are spread over Leichhardt Oval, and that's emotional. It was the same at St. Helens. I knew people whose ashes that were spread there.
Well, let's hope the NRL can step in and do something, because I've got to say, as a Tigers fan, being there on the weekend with that hill full, it was genuinely epic.
I just wonder, maybe the NRL will be looking at almost like a house purchase. So you wouldn't need to go and buy it from the council for whatever the land value is, but it'd be deemed as an investment, and having that land, the bricks and mortar, well, it wouldn't be bricks and mortar, it'd be a stadium, and investing in it. And then, if an event like COVID came in the future, the thing that the AFL didn't have the stress is because they have Marvel Stadium. Yeah. So if Marvel Stadium is there, they just go, well, look, we'll just borrow against our assets.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd be future-proofing ourselves like that. The only thing that people would have to accept is, if the NRL buy Leichhardt Oval, it's not going to be called Leichhardt Oval anymore. It's going to be sold to a naming rights partner. And that will be the unfortunate side. And that's, definitely the lesser of two evils. You get to keep it, but it's going to be referred to as insert sponsor here stadium.
Busy few months ahead for the West Tigers as they continue to push for those funds. We're here at a beautiful Allianz Stadium, counting down to the Roosters taking on the Penrith Panthers. Emma Lawrence alongside Wade Graham and James Graham. For the moment, let's talk a little bit of NRLW. And Andrew Abdo announced this afternoon officially that we will have two new teams coming into the competition next year. So we currently have 10. We're going to expand to 12 next year. So the Dogs and the Warriors will be joining the competition. Now, the Warriors were previously involved but had to miss the last three seasons because of financial pressures. So it's great to see them back in. And the Bulldogs, Jimmy, I'm sure you're very happy to see them. And they have invested in the women's game. They have a Harvey Norman team, the level underneath the NRLW here in New South Wales. So that's great news for a really strong Sydney club.
Yeah, absolutely, Emma. And obviously the Warriors were one of the logical choices to come into the competition. But, you know, I know that there's a number of people that have worked and pushed really hard for the Bulldogs to join the NRLW. And I'm delighted for everybody that's been a part of that campaign. I think it can have a real benefit, not just to the football club itself, but in terms of that community as well. Just showcasing the capabilities and showing what's possible for young girls and young women in that area is going to be massive for everybody connected to that football club and that community.
It's great news. It really is one of the most exciting parts of our game, the growth of the women's NRLW. Just over the last years, I know the worry is always if you bring in too many teams, the talent won't be as good and the quality of the product won't be as good, but yeah, you got to hand it to the women. Just, every year, the product gets better and better and better, and there's more experience. I think they've done it the right way. Two teams, you know, slowly introduce a couple more. Like, long term, we'd hope to have an NRLW team with every NRL team to match at the clubs. But yeah, it's the last time I checked, it's the fastest growing sport in participation in Australia wide. As you said, Jimmy, is a young. For the young girls out there and the young women in their teenage years looking for a sport to play, there's now an avenue to play professionally. And again, the money's going to increase. There's long-term contracts now. There's protections around the contracts. It's a really exciting part of our game. And each year the girls, like I said, they're just improving and getting better.
Yeah, the standard is improving. And, you know, that competition for spaces is increasing as well, just on sheer participation numbers. And as that continues to grow, that's only going to get better and better. That's going to, you know, raise the standards more and more. But I think what this does for me, it's two new teams come into the competition, and then we go, those two teams go and get to recruit and perhaps recruit from other sports, because a lot of these young women and girls, they play multiple sports throughout the year. So if we make the NRLW the most entertaining, most resourced, most incentivized competition for female athletes in this country, then they will come to our sport because we know we're in competition. And there's a lot of similarities between athletic people, and they tend to choose the sport that is, you know, geographically convenient for them, or that's popular, or, and you see them on TV. That's what drives people towards a particular sport. And I think with more and more teams coming in, you know, and more money, more and more, exposure and attention, that's going to bring people to the NRLW.
What they've also done is, so there were questions about depth for when we went to 10 teams, but if you didn't get picked in the NRLW side for that week, you couldn't have played footy maybe for 6 to 8 weeks because there was no reserve grade. But what they've done, they've moved the Harvey Norman women's competition, which is essentially like reserve grade, back to align with NRLW, so that if you don't get picked in the first grade side that week, you're still staying fit. You're not all of a sudden getting called in round 8 or 10 and not having played for ages. So I think that's a good move as well. So, yeah, exciting times ahead. Two new teams for the NRLW. How about this? The Roosters, who are in incredible form, up against the three-time premiers, the Penrith Panthers. Joining you for the Thursday scrum this evening, Emma Lawrence, Wade Graham and James Graham. Dan Ganaim will be your caller a little bit later this evening. Before we do talk a bit more footy, some breaking news in this afternoon from Michael Chamis, from The Herald and from Triple M, that Sania Taruva, essentially, the talks with Penrith have stalled, according to Michael Chamis. The Panthers have said they can't afford to pay him more than $350 a season. So his manager informed the club this afternoon that they are going to start looking at rival clubs and having negotiations with rival clubs. What's your first reaction when you hear that, Wado?
Yeah, I think it sort of came out of the blue, that one, because he seems so happy there. He's settled, but when you look at what he's done in a short time in that Penrith team, he was on the wing. Was he Rookie of the Year?
Yes,
he's Rookie
correct.
Of the Year. He's certainly, you know, he's one of the stats eaters of the competitions, right? He's well over 200 metres a game, 20-plus carries. So if Penrith have really, you know, been honest with him up front and told him, well, this is where we're at, this is all we can afford, you know, I think he's within his rights to go and test the market and see what other people may value him at. Like, they might come back and say, oh, well, 400 or 450, only get that little bit extra on top. Would you leave that Penrith team for an extra bit on top? But I'm not too sure. But I feel like with his rapid rise from really an unknown to, you know, where he sits now among all wings in the competition, I think it's fair that, you know, how old is he? He'd be 23, 24?
Around that, yep.
Yeah, I think it'd be fair enough for him to go and just see what else is out there, just so he can make a better informed decision. Jimmy, what are your takes on that?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm with the Penrith Panthers on this. Like, 350, like, if you look at where their money would go, obviously Cleary would be the top earner. Then you've got Isaiah Yeo, Fisher-Harris, Leota, Edwards, Liam Martin, Isaac Tango, and then, you know, your other winger in Brian Toto, that is arguably the best winger in the competition. So imagine he's getting, what, like 5, 6 maybe? Like, but, you know, if you tip in more for Taruva, yeah, that, you know, your salary cap's out of whack. Let's not forget that the Penrith Panthers, really, if they're in the market for players and looking at retention recruitment, they're looking in their own backyard if they've got a 5'8". Someone that's going to replace Jerome Luai. So that's where their attention will be. And they might look from within, but they might have to go somewhere else. But, you know, with the outside backs that they've produced over the past couple of years, when you think who's moved on, you know, they're probably not frightened about losing anyone.
It's funny because you say the outside backs. Like Stephen Crichton came in as a winger, moved to centre. Then you got Taylor May came in as a winger, moved to centre. Then Taruva comes in as a winger. It's just the production line out there. We spoke about it for ages last week on the show about how their junior pathway system is, how big the catchment is. So I think, you know, I don't think he'd leave for just a little bit more because he's in such a settled spot. And I think it's more curiosity and just a bit more clarity on where he sits among other NRL wingers and what might be out there.
Yeah, you're right there, Wade. He's not going to go to the highest bidder. He's going to look and assess his options because, you know, obviously playing on the wing, you're not as influential as all the positions, so...
It's funny, too, because he's won two premierships with the club. Is he was he in the first year? Oh, no, he's rookie of the year last year. So it's only the one premiership.
Yeah.
So,
it's potential for more. And it's potential still for more. So young. It's not like Jerome Luai, who's done three, wants to sort of be his own man and run his own team.
Mm. But, look, you know, I don't know much about Taruva's story, but he's obviously got an opportunity through working really hard and playing really well on a week-to-week basis to go and demand more money there, and he's well within his rights to go and look at and good luck to him.
And with Jerome, I think it's a little bit different because there was quite a discrepancy with the money, not just the challenge, not just the challenge of going and running my own team and trying to take my success from this team to another team. There was quite a
couple
big difference.
Couple of hundred thousand in
the end. And it's off the back of being a part of one of, if not the most dominant teams in NRL history, right? So he's got three rings and a massive chunk of money sitting on the table. Like he's... You know, go over there and do your thing, mate.
The other contract story, which has dominated headlines, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think on every Thursday scrum this season, we may have spoken about Zach Lomax. But there is an update, and this is thanks to our great mate Brent Reed, who I believe is listening to us, having a wine, listening to us on this Easter Thursday, and Michael Carayannis as well, broke this story. That these negotiations are getting to a point where, so he's been pushing and pushing, he didn't want to play on the wing, wanted to play in the centres, wanted to look for another club. Shane Flanagan has said all along, no, you're not going anywhere. But according to Reedy and Carayannis, that it's getting to the point where he wants an immediate release within the week.
Yeah,
you think it's going to happen, Wade?
Thanks, Reedy, if you're listening. Thanks for sneaking that article out. I thought we were going to have a Lomax free Thursday, but... Not to be. Again, my position hasn't changed. Like, he can agitate if this is true and if Reedy gets this story right. Like, he doesn't often get them right, but if this one is right, he can agitate all he wants. I cannot see Shane Flanagan letting him go unless the club gets something in return, be it via a big load of money or another player. And
it's got to be a player.
It's got to be a player. It has to be a player.
Like, it's pointless. The Dragons saving themselves the reported $800,000 on the cap.
Mate, like if I was Flano, and be like not being fair to Inkham, if he wanted to go to Parramatta, I'd be hitting up Parramatta for Junior Paulo or someone like that. Honestly,
You win. And it might sound, and Parramatta might turn around and say, "Well, we're not going to do that." And you go, "All right,
no deal."
So and then maybe you come back and you go, you know, perhaps maybe a Ryan Matteson or a Hopgood. You've got to position yourself to win. And it might take someone a bit left field, but there's no way with the situation that the Dragons are in at the moment they're going to let one of their best young players leave. Because even just think, take away the football side of things, think about the mood and the atmosphere within the greater Dragons fraternity in terms of their fan base. They'd be up in arms, or we're just going to let our best young player walk out. Flano knows better than that, and he's too smart an operator. He's been around the block for too long not to fall into the trap of, oh, well, you've got this player here that doesn't want to be here. What's the point? He's too smart for that. So they might be negotiating perhaps potentially with another player from another club, and the domino effect of, like, well, Lomax goes, that frees this up, but it'll all be on the premise of the Dragons win. That's what it is.
Has to be. And I will say this for Zach. Despite all this stuff going on off the field, and the Dragons haven't been great the last 2 weeks. They started well against the Titans, but they've fallen away the last 2 weeks. I think he's been great individually. Last week, he really, you could tell he's starting to grow into that role a bit. Like, I know he didn't want to be a winger, but it's actually given him a lot of freedom. Last week, when they were chasing the game, he kept popping up in the middle of the field. Like, you know, Tommy Turbo did that one, like a couple of Origin series. And I think if he grows and understands that position more, he'll be able to inject himself into the game some more. He was trailing Ben Hunt on, I think he could have tried trailing Ben Hunt on the left-hand side of the field last week when he's the right-hand winger. So it's freed him up a little bit, you must admit. And all the, if it's distracting or whatever's going on in his personal life, he's managed to put that to the side. And when it's come down to game day, he has been performing for that team. So, you know, hats off to him.
Well, so much so that Michael Maguire reached out and said,
"We're not going down this road again.
I'm just reminding everyone that didn't catch the article last week. Michael Maguire reached out. But yes, Wade and Jimmy had a very heated argument about the chances of that actually happening. Blaise Taulagi, who made his debut for the Eels last week, absolute gun. There was suggestions that he could be involved in a potential swap and he could be, end up at the Eels. But after his debut, you'd think, there's not much chance. Like he barged Tom Trbojevic.
Well, that's someone they should target, right? Like a young half. You know, Benny Hunt's not getting any younger. We could offer him to come over, play in the sixth jersey. Flano's only young. Flano was brought there originally, I believe, to be a hooker or a backup hooker. But then because of the issues in the halves, he's gone back there. So there's options there. But yeah, and we've been talking about it every week. And I've had a lot to do with Shane Flanagan over my career. Jimmy's come across him as well. You know, I cannot see him letting him go in a situation where the Dragons don't win out of the outcome.
Yeah, well, if you're Blaise Taulagi, you have your impressive debut. And then, like we spoke about, you're instantly wanting more. Now, he's going to play in the number six jersey next week, or on Easter Monday, rather, as Mitchell Moses is out, meaning Brown will go to seven. But after that, the future does look promising, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But the realistic options, if the Parramatta Eels go out and sign Zach Lomax, where's Talangi's route to first team? Because you've got Penasini on one side. Lomax is going to go to Parramatta to play centre. So there's Lomax. There's your two centre spots wrapped up. And then you've got Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses. So there's nowhere in the halves for him to play. So if the Eels go hard for Lomax, Talangi's pretty much without a home, so it makes sense that he would be starting to look. And you know, if you look at it from a Dragon, if that is to be an option, I think the Dragons win. They probably get Blaise Taulagi at a significantly reduced deal, and they've got some money to go and land another player. So that could be a potential win for the Dragons if they go down that route.
It's a pretty cool story as well for the Easter Monday game that Blaise Taulagi, Wade, is going to be playing against Lachie Galvin from the Tigers, and they were great mates growing up.
Yeah, I heard that story. It's brilliant, and it's funny how things just work out in that game. So apparently, I'm not across all details, but they're best mates. They played against each other or with each other since they're 10 years old. We know, is it Gave? He debuts in round two because of the bye for the Tigers. And now Taulagi debuts last week. Two and one game into their first grade career, best mates come up against each other. It's just awesome. I'm going to watch that game specifically just to see when they come into contact each other on the field, because they won't be able to keep the smile off their face. And it's amazing, this game, how the storylines get presented to us all the times. But that's certainly a special moment for a couple of young guys living out their dream.
We're going to be very much looking forward to that one. And don't forget, we have every single NRL match this Easter weekend, either on your local station or on the Listener app. And the bye round, for those who didn't catch it earlier, big interview coming out soon with Matty Johns.
Yeah, hopefully if Charlie gets off his holiday, he can turn that interview around. It doesn't need much editing, you know, when you're working.
When you're such a professional.
That infinity pool that Charlie's in looked quite nice. You see the photos of those, James?
He's been sending videos, yes. He has. I mean, seriously, who goes away if you're working this industry? Who goes away at this time of year?
Particularly when every game is on Triple M or Listener. And this is the biggest weekend of the year.
What planet is he on? Who signed off on this?
Doesn't he sign off on his own leave?
Well, probably he's thinking, no one's going to know I'm not here. that's about the amount of work he does.
Do you think
he just thinks he can just go like fade into insignificance. So he's just thought, I'll probably get away with this. But then he has to talk to people about him not being here.
Do you think he'll be listening? I don't think his partner will be happy.
He's on a romantic weekend with Siobhan.
He just put the Triple M Thursday scrum on in the background. You reckon that'd go down well with the missus?
But it depends because, you know, the more you start to question why someone would go away around this time of year, it only says one thing.
Engagement, maybe?
I was just going to say, you need a break.
From us, from you.
Just going to say, go for a good time. Why would you say engagement?
Well, they've been together for a long time. It seems like a romantic weekend. He's probably due too, isn't he?
Let's not put too much pressure on him.
I didn't say that.
Us girls do that all the time. We put too much pressure on them. So, Charlie, I'll let you off the hook. We'll talk a bit more footy for the moment. Mitchell Moses for the Eels. Broken foot. Minimum 6 weeks out. Maximum probably the 12-week mark. But, look, even six, that's huge.
A blessing in disguise, Emma.
Why?
Look, watching Mitchell Moses on the weekend, if you believe what you read and the fact he sustained this injury in the final 10 minutes, prior to that, Mitchell Moses was struggling.
Yeah.
He still had three try assists and he scored a try. So, you know, for a guy who's struggling, he actually did really well. But you could see him, he couldn't quite accelerate and inject himself into play. He wanted to be in areas like out the back of some shape, and from where we were commentating, he just couldn't get there, and it looked like this ongoing groin issue that he's got. So look, the Eels now get Mitchell Moses the surgery sorted, get him the rehab on the groins, get his body right. Now the role for the Parramatta team is, don't let Mitchell Moses be the saviour for the season. They've got to be in a position that Parramatta can go and mount a challenge for a top eight or even potentially a top four. That's where they've got to be at. Bring Mitchell Moses in at around, what, round 16, round 15, halfway through the season, and imagine the boost he would give them.
Yeah, he would give them a shot of energy. Does that sound not weird to you, that time frame, like 6 weeks, potentially 12 weeks? I feel like that's a big discrepancy. Normally with a broken bone,
I think they said eight, but give or take a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah, but okay. Well, 6 to 12 just sounds like that's a real long time, a difference between a time frame.
That's physios and doctors covering their own arses.
Yeah, well, that's...
But, 6 to 12.
Yeah.
That's a long, time.
It is a big...
It's a funny one, because normally you hear 6 to 8 or 8 to 10, a couple of weeks here or there, but
window.
6 to 8...
It's a big window.
They've left themselves plenty of wiggle room, the physios.
I think... You know, Dylan Brown has been sensational for the Eels to start this season. And obviously he had his issues last year. And they're a different team when he's playing. So it'd be interesting to see how Brad Arthur attacks this one, whether or not. Obviously, Dylan Brown been named in the 7 jersey this week. But is he going to play like a 7?
Mm.
Or is he just going to play his usual game? Because he might, you know, overthink and... think he's got to run the show. I don't know if that is Dylan Brown's natural game. And obviously with the young Talangi, that's what, his second game of first grade, the demands on Dylan Brown are going to be more. But then you just wonder if Brad Arthur will be saying, look, mate, we don't need you to be Mitchell Moses. Just do exactly what Dylan Brown's been doing, and that will be enough.
Well, we do have the Eels and the Tigers, traditional Easter Monday clash in every single NRL match this weekend here on Triple M. Hope you're enjoying the Thursday scrum. We're counting down to this blockbuster. It is the Roosters and the Panthers. Dan Ganane in next to take you through the half an hour before kickoff. We're doing it here on Triple M NRL Primetime, thanks to Ream Hot Water and to Maccas.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
Triple M's Thursday Scrum.
Triple M footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.